Please be seated. Over the past few days, perhaps you've heard, but I've made no bones about the fact about how bummed I have become that we didn't get to have our church services on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. There's so many reasons I feel this way. The not being able to share the greatest gospel message of our Lord's birth with you, God's dear children. The not being able to share our Lord's body and blood. To not being able to see many folks, especially many that we don't see quite as often. So basically, I haven't been able to do my job. And that's revealing to you all the glory of the Lord, his pure and sweet gospel, and the forgiveness of all your sins and the hope of life everlasting. One of the greatest heartbreaks for me has come to be those missing sheep, those whom you and I haven't seen here in church in some time. And as an under-shepherd of our Lord, he has placed me here to care for his flock here at Zion. And letting some who had been a member here or those whom are still a member yet don't come, or those many of our neighbors and friends that have yet to hear the sweet gospel message of Jesus coming for our salvation, I pray very often to the Lord to strengthen me, to enable me and this church to be better at doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. However, it has been revealed to you. The gospel has been presented to you all here today, and even to those who haven't been here in quite a while, they've been hearing it as well. And as the Apostle Luke reveals to us today about the presentation of our Lord in the temple, it is a fact that the mighty Lord has returned on this day to his temple. It's a gospel lesson which needs to be heard over and over again by me and you and even those folks who haven't been here in a while. They ought to hear this from time to time. He who was worshipped by the people of Israel is here today with us now, here in this church, his temple. Yet in our text, he was carried into his own house when the time came for his purification according to the law of Moses. Mary and Joseph brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Most people then didn't recognize him for who he truly was. It's no different today, is it? Yet this man, Simeon, he did. He saw this righteous and devout man. Simeon saw by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he saw this beautiful baby Jesus. And he welcomed the Lord God into his own temple. As Simeon held the tiny baby in his arms, he spoke of the salvation that had come to bring glory to the people of Israel. In ancient days, long before the birth of our Lord Jesus, the glory of the Lord had rested upon the tabernacle. When a pillar of cloud and fire accompanied it and the Israelites when they wandered through the wilderness. Again, when Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem, the glory of God filled that most holy place, so much so that the priests couldn't even enter into the Holy of Holies. Yet in the time of the Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord depart from the temple. He left. And then that temple was destroyed. And then another, in its place, was built. Yet the glory of God did not appear in that second temple. And all the people wept because the glory of God was missing. And it is to this temple that the baby Jesus came. Although that 40-day-old baby was surely all beautiful and cute, he didn't visibly show that within his tiny flesh dwelled the true glory of the eternal God, the exact image of the Father's majesty in that beautiful baby. When Christ was carried into the temple, the glory of the Lord had finally returned and arrived. The glory of the Lord had indeed returned into the temple. God in human flesh was in his house. He is the glory of his people. Israel's honor was that God dwelt among them. Now Christ was there, the Son of God, who exalted his earthly race by stooping low to live among them. The people didn't deserve it any more than we deserve his presence upon me and you. Simeon described him as the bringer of salvation, light, and glory. But if he brings it, was it then lacking before this time? I mean, look at it. The people were lost. They were lost in darkness, walking in the shame of their sin. They were deeply in need of him who was Savior and light of the world and who is the glory of his people. But the Jews didn't want to hear such things. They were largely overtaken by the spirit and the voices of those Pharisees. We're not in darkness. We're not lost. We're not shameful. I know how to handle myself. How dare you suggest that we're in need of saving? Those silly Jews. How could they not realize their great need for the Messiah? It's kind of funny. But yet, how silly are some of us? Thinking we're just fine without the need for some savior or someone else to let alone make our day better or even to let us consider the reality of salvation. Everlasting? Come on! Did you notice that Simeon also mentions us Gentiles? That's folks like me and you. We're also in need, as much if not more so than the Jews. The Jews at least had the glory of the God dwelling among them, be it only at one time. They at least had the revelation of the one true God in their holy Torah. We Gentiles had none of these things and lived in darkness, of ignorance and of unrighteousness. It's not hard to hear the voice of a Pharisee inside each of us. We want to deny that we need the light of the world. We want to deny that we're that shameful. Maybe we have a few blemishes here and there, but not actually shameful. We like Jesus. We love him. And we want him around. But then how often do we shy away from acknowledging just how lost and corrupt we are without him? We need saving. True, we have been saved at the baptismal font and by the very word of God. Yet he keeps sending his word, his saving word. He keeps sending it to us because in his great love for us, we are still in need of salvation. To keep us in salvation, to strengthen us for good works, to comfort us in our many afflictions, He sends us his holy gospel again and again and again. He keeps giving it to overflow with his grace to us who need it so badly. So the glory of God comes to dwell with us. It has been revealed to you. You are now the new temple made of living stones. Christ the Savior is among us, signifying that we, even as Gentiles, we are now his people. He didn't count our darkness as a deterrent. Instead, he filled our darkness with his light, for he is the light of life. Our sinfulness did not keep him from us. Instead, he took our sin upon his shoulders and carried it upon his flesh to destroy it by his sacrifice upon the cross. To reassure us yet again and again and give us more of his consolation, he comes to us often when we celebrate Holy Communion. He comes in bodily form. His body appears to be nothing, maybe only a little piece of bread. Yet by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we recognize who is there. Concealed in that wafer is the entire glory of the Son of God given for us to eat. Concealed in the wine is the same holy blood shed by our precious Savior in his sacrifice, the child of the Virgin who is the Lamb. And in that divine service, we often sing the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the sight of all nations, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. At that moment, you and I were all Simeons. Yeah. We're all declaring that we're ready for our Lord to call us home to be with him. For Christ Jesus is our glory. We just talked about this in our Bible class this morning. That comfort, that peace. And I gave the illustration during Bible class that, you know, when we come up here for the Lord's Supper, the dismissal that I say to you, now may the eating and drinking of his body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace, your sins are forgiven. Amen. That go in peace, remember? It's not that, all right, get away from here now. It's not that go, get away from the altar. It means you're all set. The Lord can come. He can take you. He will take you. He has promised to take you. And because we have his promises, we need not fear death anymore. Our sinful flesh may falter. We may feel an earthly fear at that dark portal. Yet we have Christ before our very eyes. He, the firstborn, has led the way. He was born first in the new creation. He is that new creation by the Holy Spirit, not by the will of man. He died a pure death, making all the deaths of his saints a precious thing in his sight. And he has become the firstborn of the dead, who rose on the third day. Therefore, you and I, we shall rise like him, clothed in immortality as he is, clothed in his glory as sons of God. Until that day, may the Holy Spirit keep you in this one true faith and the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us rise and sing.